G'day. Today's Bible reading comes from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 to 17.
But you must remain faithful to the things that you've been taught. You know they are true, for you know that you can trust those who taught you. You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they've given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus.
All Scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work.
Well, good morning. Welcome to my living room, but also welcome to my love of books. You know, I don't know what it is about books, but there's something to me that it's the age, it's the structure, it's the smell, it's the history, it's how many people have flicked through it and read it. This one is one of my favourites, the beauty of it, the artistry of it. It goes back to 1865. But, you know, if it was the library I dream of, I'd be here in a leather wingback chair. There'd probably be a smoking jacket on and a little pipe in my hand. And instead of just a few shelves and a few old books, I would have a dark library with dark wood and shelves of books. But you know, the books just contain story or information. The truth is, I actually probably look at them more than I read them. You know, this week as we come into Jesus, the game changer, we're looking at the Bible. And as a literary work, it's so much more than just a collection of information, historical record, foundational truths for morality or ethics. It's actually, according to Paul in his letter to Timothy, the living Word of God, the breathed Word of God, the inspiration of God. You know, there was a list of books put together by the New York City Library, probably second largest library in the world. And they got the librarians through records of what had been borrowed and what had been read widely. What are some of those books? You know, listed amongst them was the King James Version of the Bible. But when referencing it, they referenced it as the foundation of the ethics and morals of the Western world. Somehow missed that Paul says that it's God's breathed, inspired word. You know, the point of the Bible is not just information. You know, like we need to distribute the Bible so people just have something more to read. You know, when I think about that, I'm taken back to Ecclesiastes. In fact, I want to read something. It's Solomon, who's reported as one of the great wise men of the world. He finishes this book of Ecclesiastes, which is an incredible, you know, venture into what makes sense in life. And he comes up with these statements again and again. Oh, it's meaningless. Everything's meaningless. It's like, you know, spitting into the wind. I can't find much reason in anything. And he comes to the end of the book of Ecclesiastes and he says this, of the making of many books, there's no end. And much study just wearies the body. Now all has been heard and here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God, keep his commands, for this is the whole duty of man. You know, it's not that we just need information, but we truly need revelation. All of the information in the world, it might change someone's beliefs, might change someone's behaviors, but it can't change the very foundation of who we are. It can't change the heart of man. And yet we're told that the Bible is the inspired word of God. It's a unique claim. And so the reason the Bible really needs to be distributed is that it's a word of life and hope for humanity. One of my favorite passages in the scriptures is in the last book of the Bible, the Revelation of John. And it describes this incredible picture of people gathered around God's throne or in his presence. And it says, there are people of every tribe, every nation, every people group, every tongue, every dialect. Everyone has heard this revealed, breathed, inspired word of God that has done more than just inform them about the existence of God. It brings this transformational work with the application of that word. You know, of the gathering of books, there's no end. I could dream about being surrounded by endless books of endless ages, and they would slowly all deteriorate. One day, there'll be just dust. But there's another truth, that the Word of God, when it takes root in us, it endures and it repeats itself and it's replicated in others as we share it. It's life-giving. You know, I really have a deep admiration for those that have found that transformational work of God in them, and then they go into the work of translation, of taking that life-giving word and delivering it to others in their own tongue, in their own dialect. You know, there's so many translations and people get bogged down in what translation is right and what translation is best. And, you know, I don't want to stir up controversy, but I sometimes wonder, why do we worry about it so much? Isn't there a deeper question over translation as to application? Sometimes I think if we would take just some of the simple passages of the scripture and apply them to our lives in their simplest form, it would bring life beyond arguing over translations till the cows come home. You know, there's a passage, and in fact, I'm going to read a couple of variations of them, and I'm going to read two of them from my phone. Technology, isn't it great? I mean, I can scroll through this app on my phone and have endless translations of the Bible. But just hear this one out. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and just a few verses. And this is the King James Version. And it says this, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. And I love the poetic sense of it, and for me it feels very flowery, and for others that's the form of the Word of God. But I could look at Eugene Peterson's version of the same passage, and it says this, love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for itself. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything. You know, I read that and I just have to say, for my life, that feels far more relevant. It's more relevant to my conversation, to my experience of life, to my interpretation. And therefore, I would say that actually is more relevant a translation. But for others, that doesn't make sense. There's a version that I've come to enjoy, and I had to print it on paper because I can't find it in print at the moment. But this is from the Hawaiian Pigeon Bible. And the book that we call Corinthians, they call it this, number one for the Corinth people. Isn't that beautiful? Like the first letter of Corinthians, number one for the Corinth people. When you get love and aloha, you can handle all kind of pilika and hang in the long time. You get good heart for help to other people. You no get jealous because the other guy gets something you like. When you get love and aloha, you no need big talk. You no more big head. You act kind of palaw. You know, act like everybody gotta do everything your way. You know, it just goes on in a language of pigeon, and I just smile when I read it because it's relevant in a way that the King James, Eugene, could never be to the Hawaiian people who speak pigeon. And I probably butchered it in every word, but it has this kind of island vibe to me. But in the end, the purpose of God's word is that we be transformed. And so you've got to ask yourself this question. Have we received God's word as an alive, life-giving, hope-giving, light-bearing, transforming word? Doesn't just change the way I think or behave, but it actually transforms my heart. It begins a work that conforms me to the likeness of Jesus. And so I'm going to invite you for a few moments as our worship team lead us into the space of this song that just asks, are we willing to surrender? Are we willing to actually say, have all of me? Let your word bring life, change. Whatever you need to do, it's up to you. So I invite you into this space to not just, again, listen to words, but to allow it to investigate, to challenge our thinking, to lead us to be more conformed to the likeness of Christ. Thanks, Craig.
But take all of me, make my life anything that you want it to be, anything that you want it to be. Be my one desire, be the longing of my soul. Take your to be here in your presence and willing to surrender all. Be a burning fire that consumes all of my heart, because I want to see your glory, Jesus, come just as you are. As it is in heaven, won't you let it be here? As it is in heaven, won't you let it be here? As it is in heaven, won't you let it be here?
You know, the line in that song, as it is in heaven, won't you let it be here and now? That which God has ordained and purposed from the very beginning, that which is always desired, won't you work it in me? Won't you, God, let that transformation happen in me? And as it happens in me, through me, that I in turn become this translation, if you would, of God's word that other people might read and see. You know, the relevance of the application and interpretation of God's word is so important. You know, I think of the story of the grandma who, with all great intent, writes a letter to her grandchildren and says to them, you know, I'm so sorry to hear about the tragedy that just happened in your home. And the card is signed off, LOL. Grandma, and in her thinking, she's sending lots of love, but in the current context of the kids' world, LOL says laugh out loud. And it changes the whole context. I'm so sorry to hear about the tragedy in your family, laughing out loud, Grandma. You know, what about the business meeting where the business manager wants to empower his staff to organize their own time and, you know, set their own direction for work. So we organize this meeting and he says to them with all great intent, you know, come to this meeting where we're teaching you and preparing you. And he signs it this, BYOB, because he's thinking it's be your own boss. But they're all reading it, bring your own beer. And so it turns into quite the office meeting. You know, context, translation, how it's written isn't always how we hear it. I was excited when I read in the King James Version that there were the Word of God could go out to divers places. I love scuba diving, so I'm all excited. There's the Bible references scuba diving, divers places all over the world. And then I realized that's the old spelling of diverse, various, different. Took the wind out of my sails in a heartbeat. But you see, it's realizing there's a relevance to the people that are hearing, not just me presenting. And so I begin to ask myself this question. What translation am I bringing to my people, to my community, to those I find myself in the midst of? How does that transformational word of God translate to them through my life, through my actions, through my words? Your translation is important on paper, but I think it's way more important in person. And so I'm going to just give you a couple of really quick things. You see, I think there's illumination and application that will bring transformation. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, your word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light to my path. That's the illumination. There are times I read the Bible and I can be reading along and all of a sudden there's one verse that's just like, whoa, there it is. That's For me, that's illumination. It brings light to the way I do life. I take it on board. But then there's the application. I can see something, startle me, amazed at it, and do nothing about it. There's the application. James writes in James chapter 1, the man, the woman, the person who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do so, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they'll be blessed in everything they do. It's the illumination, it's the application that leads to transformation. And so you've got to be where you have access to it. You have to be in God's word for it to really be in you. Got to be in it for it to flow out of us. And so I really do invite you to think about these words for a moment. Have you found illumination in God's word, whether it's a word or a verse? But then what have you done with it? What's the application of it? How does it change the heart of who we are and in turn what we believe or what we do? I ask you this. If you were to ask people around you, and this is tough, it's tough. What does my life speak of? What's the translation of this word into the life I live? Or maybe before you go public and do that, maybe ask God to just investigate our lives and let Him put His finger on areas that He needs to transform. Because after all, the Word of God is not just about information. It's about transformation. And may you find just a glimpse of that somewhere this week. God bless you, keep you, go ahead of you, and give you His peace. In Jesus' name, amen.